This is Jeff Young, the Catholic Foodie at CatholicFoodie.com, and you're listening to episode 68 of the Catholic Foodie, Jesus, I Trust in You. Well, welcome, folks, to the Catholic Foodie, where food meets faith. Today is Divine Mercy Sunday, so we're going to be talking about Jesus, who is the Divine Mercy incarnate. That's going to be an exciting show, and I'm so happy to share this wonderful day, this wonderful episode, with my beautiful bride, Char.
Greetings. Thank you.
Now, you were not here yesterday, honey. I did a show yesterday by myself, and you were not here because you were...
So you did that to me.
With Annabelle.
Oh, I was at the meet. That's right.
Right. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. Hit the Catholic Foodie,
where food meets faith.
That's right. Yesterday you were at a gymnastics meet, or as I like to say sometimes, gymnastics. You know, you're at a gymnastics meet with Annabelle, who is 9 years old. And tell us about it, honey. How did Annabelle do?
She did great. It was the state meet, and she placed in beam fourth in the state. And her all around, she was number 8.
Wow.
So it's a really big deal. Huh? That's in the state for 9-year-olds.
Wow.
So out of the whole state, those are her, that was her standing. So I thought that was pretty good. They have quite a large number of girls. There were 71 little girls in her, for her level. Now they vary in ages though, from, there were like 2 little 5-year-olds and a 6-year-old, and then basically 7 through maybe 12.
Mm, wow.
So she did really well. And then we got to go out to dinner together, just she and I.
It's a rare occurrence to have one of the children by him or herself, huh?
Oh, yeah. And she just talked the whole time.
Which is, normally she's kind of, I guess, shadowed or in the shadows of Christopher, who never stops talking.
And Grace, who just never stops yelling or squealing or, you know, being completely silly.
So if you met Annabelle with the other two, you'd think, oh, she is such a quiet child.
But not at night. Once everyone else goes to sleep, she kind of likes to linger and she talks a whole lot. So she just started talking when we sat down and it didn't stop till she fell asleep in the car.
Oh, that's awesome. That's right, because the meet was in Baton Rouge, so you had to drive that out, what, about an hour or so, hour and 15 minutes,
yeah,
back and forth. Back and forth yesterday. So y'all got in pretty late. What, 10-something?
10:30.
10:30?
Yeah.
And she stayed up and talked to me and kind of clued me in as to what happened during the day. So it was probably closer to 11:30 before she went to bed.
Oh, yeah.
So very tired child this morning.
And grumpy, okay.
But that's what happens. Well, very cool. So we're excited about Annabelle and her gymnastics accomplishments. Very exciting. And today we're going to be talking about Divine Mercy Sunday. Today's Divine Mercy Sunday. The Divine Mercy is a feast day in the church, which celebrates, of course, the mercy of God, the Divine Mercy. And it's based upon the apparitions and messages that were given to Sister Faustina, who is now Saint Faustina, in, goodness gracious, the early 1900s, and I can't remember the exact date, somewhere around the late 20s, early 30s, I believe. Maybe it started in 1931, if I'm not mistaken. And Jesus had requested, I mean, his whole message was trust, one of trust, you know, trust in me, trust in the mercy of God. And he said so much about sinners. You know, we're all sinners. Some of us are repentant sinners, and some have yet to repent, but we're all sinners. And so he said over and over again, kind of emphasizing the love and the mercy that he has for all sinners. And powerful, powerful message when you really kind of dive into it and see what Jesus had to say to Sister Faustina, and not just to her. He told her specifically that this message is for the world, and one of the things that he wanted was for the church to set aside the Sunday after Easter as a special feast dedicated to the divine mercy, the mercy of God. And there are several promises associated with this particular feast, one of which is a plenary indulgence, and we'll have to maybe talk about that in a bit. But it wasn't, this was in 1931, it wasn't until the year 2000 that Pope John Paul II canonized St. Faustina, made her a saint, recognized her as a saint. And then after that, the following year, I guess it was 2001, was officially the first celebration, the first time on the Roman calendar that we had the celebration of the Feast of Divine Mercy. So that was in 2001. And here we are, what, 9 years later? It's almost like a novena of years.
It is.
Isn't that crazy? That's great. And speaking of novenas, by the way, we have been praying a novena.
That's right. Divine Mercy.
The Divine Mercy Novena, which is something also that Jesus revealed, he shared with, he gave to St. Faustina. And we've done this before, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah.
And our experience of praying the novena as a family has been sort of disjointed.
It happens, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have the kids and...
We got different stuff going on, but, mm-hmm. you know, we did it.
We did it. At least
somebody
did it.
Every night. Mostly yes. It was you and I, but...
Right.
And except when I fell asleep.
And then I'd finish it.
And sometimes with the kids and sometimes not, but
that's right.
We did okay.
That's right. We were praying. We had some special intentions, of course, in the novena, and we prayed just placing all those things in Jesus' hands. And also, of course, when he revealed this novena to St. Faustina, he had specific intentions that he gave her for each day. And so we prayed, of course, for those intentions each day as well. And we always finish it up. We would start with the novena prayers, and then we would finish it up with the chaplet of Divine Mercy, which if you don't know anything about that, I'll put a link in the show notes. But I believe if you go and just Google Divine Mercy, I'm sure that something will show up. But a powerful novena, which once again is focused on the mercy of God. You know, there's a quote that I read. Father Benedict Groeschel actually had it in one of his books. Oh, Inga in the chat room, she just mentions that Pope John Paul II died on the evening before Divine Mercy Sunday in 2005. Wow, I'd never put two and two together and realized that. Inga, thank you so much. That's wonderful.
I think we did know that because we...
Well, in my old age, I'm forgetting things.
We forgot.
Yeah, I'm forgetting things. Thank you for bringing that up. That's very providential. Very providential. He was a pope who was very much devoted to... the message of Divine Mercy. I mean, he was, first of all, he's Polish.
Yeah, they're both from Poland.
And St. Faustina was Polish. So he knew about these messages long before, I think, the Universal Church did, and took them to heart. And once again, he ends up being the Pope who canonizes St. Faustina and really promulgates the devotion to the Divine Mercy, including the special feast day.
Yep.
Awesome. That is just
awesome.
Yeah, it is. Now, in this book right here, this is The Cross at Ground Zero, written by Father Benedict Groeschel, put out a few years back. Who publishes this? This is Our Sunday Visitor who publishes this. In the very back, there's an appendix where there's some appendices. Appendix 3 is on St. Faustina. And this is from a conversation that she had with Jesus. And he says this, Jesus says, "O soul steeped in darkness, do not despair. All is not yet lost. Come and confide in your God who is love and mercy." And then St. Faustina is kind of having a conversation with Jesus. And she says, you know, "But the soul, deaf even to this appeal, wraps itself in darkness. But Jesus calls out again, 'My child, listen to the voice of your merciful Father.'" And then in the soul arises this reply, "For me there is no mercy," and it falls into greater darkness, despair, a despair which is a foretaste of hell and makes it unable to draw near to God. Jesus calls to the soul a third time, but the soul remains deaf and blind, hardened and despairing. Then the mercy of God begins to exert itself, and without any cooperation from the soul, God grants it final grace. If this too is spurned, God will leave the soul in this self-chosen disposition for eternity. This grace emerges from the merciful heart of Jesus and gives the soul a special light by means of which the soul begins to understand God's effort, but conversion depends on its own will. The soul knows that this, for her, is final grace, and should it show even a flicker of goodwill, the mercy of God will accomplish the rest. And what Jesus says is, my omnipotent mercy is active here. Happy the soul that takes advantage of this grace. What joy fills my heart when you return to me. Because you are weak, I take you in my arms and carry you to the home of my Father. Wow. Wow. There was something else that he said that I thought was so awesome. The whole message, by the way, of divine mercy is one of trust. If you know anything about it, you know that one of the phrases, I guess, one of the prayers that's very common that comes out of the Divine Mercy devotion, and apparently also on the image of Divine Mercy that St. Faustina had an artist paint a picture of Jesus as he appeared to her with those rays of those red and white rays that come out of his heart, right? The blood and water that flowed out of his pierced side on Calvary. They painted a picture of that, and at the bottom of the picture it says, Jesus, I trust in you. And that's like that catchphrase. That's that phrase of divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. So it's all about trust. And Jesus says here, my child, all your sins have not wounded my heart as painfully as your present lack of trust does. That after so many efforts of my love and mercy, you should still doubt my goodness. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Is that amazing or what? That is just so amazing. And he says again, I'm going to skip here what the soul says. I'm going to go to what Jesus says. Tell me all, my child, hide nothing from me, because my loving heart, the heart of your best friend, is listening to you. Wow. And then again, Jesus says, do not be absorbed in your misery. You are still too weak to speak of it, but rather gaze on my heart filled with goodness and be imbued with my sentiments. Strive for meekness and humility. Be merciful to others as I am to you. And when you feel your strength failing, if you come to the fountain of mercy to fortify your soul, you will not grow weary on your journey. So again, the message is one of trust. My child, all your sins have not wounded my heart as painfully as your present lack of trust does. That after so many efforts of my love and mercy, you should still doubt my goodness. Trust. And I don't know about you, but my experience is when I come face to face with my own sinfulness, my own failures, I tend to become focused on that, right? Mm-hmm. I tend to focus on how awful and wretched I am, and not as much on the goodness of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus, the fact that Jesus died to save me. My tendency is to focus on myself. And so even when I'm going to confession, the focus 9 times out of 10 for me has been focusing on me. And it's all about me. Even going to confession, it's about me. When in actuality, he's saying, don't focus on your misery. You know, look at me, look at my goodness, look at my mercy, and trust in me.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was one of the things I kind of learned this Lent. I've been talking about all the things that have happened this Lent. One of them is, it's not about me.
Right.
It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's not about me.
And that's right.
Awesome. And it's about my family. You know, it's God first, others second, and then little old me should be third, mm-hmm. should be last, right? So, honey, I've been just rambling on here. Do you have anything you'd like to say about divine mercy? Well, that's okay. I'm not going to put you on the spot there. So Divine Mercy, that's today. We went to Mass early this morning and this afternoon, this evening rather. We're going to be heading over to church once again because there's a special exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, 3 hours of prayer, confession will be available, and all that leads up to really fulfilling the requests of Jesus and his message of Divine Mercy, and hopefully obtaining what's known as a plenary indulgence. Plenary indulgence. Indulgences are very misunderstood, I think, by not only Protestants, not only non-Catholics, but Catholics too. I mean, I teach my students this all the time, you know. What's an indulgence? And it's the classical definition is that it's the remission or the wiping away, the taking away of due to temporal punishment or temporal punishment due to sin. Now, what do you mean by that? Temporal, like having to do with time, having to do with the body, having to do with, you know, punishment. And it kind of gives us an image of, once again, God is this vengeful almost stern judge, and not so much as God the Father. You know, temporal punishment, what's all that about? And the way I explain it to my kids is this. You know, if let me see, who can I pick on? I'm going to pick on, who should I pick on? Should I pick on Father Roderick? Maybe I'll pick on Father Roderick. If Father Roderick and I were hanging out together, and he said something to me, and I got upset, and I just punched him right in the face, which, Father Roderick, I would not do. But if I did, if I had, punched him right in the face and gave him a black eye, that would not be a good thing, right? That would be a sin. Mm-hmm. Now, Father Roderick, being a holy man, a priest and a holy man as well, would readily forgive me if I was sincerely sorry and told him I was sorry and kind of repented of what I had done. He would forgive me, right?
Right.
Because he's that good. But even though he forgives me, guess what? He still has a black eye. And I happen to break a finger when I hit him in the face.
Right.
Because he's hard-headed, you see, and he's got a hard head. So I broke a finger. Now, just because Father Roderick forgives me does not mean that my finger is healed.
Right.
So there's still effects of my sin in my person besides just the guilt. See, confession wipes away the guilt. It makes us right with God again. It takes away the guilt of our sin, wipes away the sin. But it doesn't necessarily wipe away the effects of sin. It can wipe away some of them, especially the interior effects, you know. You start to commit certain sins or a certain sin over and over and over again. It's repetitive. Then it becomes a habit. And so confession can actually help you to get over the habit. So it can take away some of the effects of sin. But that's not – it doesn't wipe away everything.
He still has a black eye.
He still has a black eye. Well, he'd be like God in this case. So, you know, he took it all on the cross, you know. But – so how do I overcome, how do I get rid of all the effects of sin in my life and the roots of sin that have been buried down into my heart? And that's where we get the idea of indulgences from, that from the treasury of the grace in the church, that it can apply graces to you with the right dispositions to grant, I guess, what you would call I can't remember the technical term, whether it's a remission of the temporal punishment due to sin is what they technically call it. But basically, it's wiping away, getting rid of the effects so that when you die, your soul is more in the state that it needs to be in order to enter heaven and hopefully not go to purgatory. If you go to purgatory, to go for a lesser time. Right? Which, I mean, all this is speaking just in human ways, because when you talk about eternity, there is no time in eternity, so we can't even begin to say, well, you go to purgatory for X number of days or years or whatever. It's just there's no time there. We can only speak in ways that we know, ways that we understand. So anyway, the bottom line is that to obtain a plenary indulgence, there are certain things that have to be done. You have to go to confession at least 8 days before or 8 days after. That's generally what it's held to be. Go to confession. Receive communion on the day that you are to receive the indulgence. Perform whatever act it is that is to be done to gain the indulgence. So, for instance, you could pray the rosary in front of the Blessed Sacrament, spend that time meditating on the mysteries of the rosary, and you could obtain an indulgence for that. All right, but we're talking about divine mercy today. In addition to that, you have to pray for the intentions of the Pope. So you can pray like an Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be for the intentions of the Pope. But here's the clincher. Here's where people kind of get tripped up, I guess, when it comes to, and why we can't ever say, oh, I have indeed obtained a plenary indulgence. Here's the trick. The catch is, in order to obtain a plenary indulgence, you have to be free from any attachment. That's the word. You have to be free from any attachment to sin. Okay, that means that you've gone to confession. Now you've been forgiven, but you can't be attached to sin. Just think, for instance, there's a certain thing that is sinful that you just like to do, and you struggle with it. But I don't know. Let's say it's unforgiveness. Let's say there's someone in your life you have a hard time forgiving. Well, that's still attachment to sin. Attachment to sin. And so you cannot receive a plenary indulgence or an indulgence for that.
Right.
You know? So there are certain conditions that have to be made. So a real detachment from sin is difficult. And we pray for that grace. And God can do that in us. Absolutely. But we can never say, oh, yeah, I have indeed received a plenary indulgence. We don't know. We're not going to know till we get to heaven. But you know what? We aim high. That way, if we miss the target, at least we'll be higher than if we aimed low.
Right.
And it's like we should strive or aim for heaven, not purgatory.
Right.
Because
right.
if you aim for heaven and miss, you'd be in purgatory. But if you aim for purgatory and miss, uh-oh. If you're lower, oh, no. You know, so anyway, that's my 2 cents on the indulgence. That's why we are absolutely going to go to adoration tonight and pray, and just to be close to Jesus, who loves us so much.
I'd like the chef salad, please, with the oil and vinegar on the side, and the apple pie a la mode.
Chef, an apple a la mode.
But I'd like the pie heated, and I don't want the ice cream on top. I want it on the side, and I'd like strawberry instead of vanilla if you have it. If not, then no ice cream, just whipped cream, but only if it's real. If it's out of a can, then nothing.
Not even the pie?
No, just the pie, but then not heated.
Uh-huh. I'll have what she's having.
Well, I was going to share a little feedback with you right now, but I think I'm going to hold off on that. And, John, I'd like to have you, if you would, talk to us about the garden. We have a garden.
We have a little garden. It's, I try my hand at it, you know. You built those for me, the little raised beds last year. And I tend to be kind of late on on my planting. So I did plant a winter garden kind of late towards the tail end of the season this year. It was awful weather here this mm-hmm. winter. It was just
cold,
freezing. But I did get a lot of lettuces, arugula, which I just adore. I could eat it daily, which I am at least once, if not twice a day right now. spinach. And some romaine and a little mixed lettuce where I just spread a bunch of mixed seeds together. And then I have some sugar snap peas, which have yet to, I just have my first blossom today. So they're probably about 4 feet tall.
Wow.
But, you know, I didn't plant like a whole seed of them a whole packet of them or anything, but a little bit. And some carrots and beets, so we'll see how those end up. Obviously I can't really tell because they're underground. Something is eating my Brussels sprouts.
Oh goodness.
And I do also have some broccoli, but that's actually, it was really late. So I just did a little bit of that. But I have my kale, and I have like red kale and regular kale. And I'm just snipping it real little. And
those delicate leaves?
It's very much baby. Mm-hmm. I have some cilantro. I have some basil coming up. That's a summer thing. But it's time for the summer stuff. I know lots of people already have their tomatoes, their cucumbers, their whatever else that's summer already going, and I'm going to be late again.
Yeah, that's okay.
But I'm enjoying my lettuce.
Me too.
I'm enjoying the salads. I'm picking it small, like I said. I have Swiss chard too, which it's very pretty, but I don't like it. I think it tastes...
I don't know
if it's this variety or what. But last time I tried to do it in the summer, it got eaten immediately because I don't spray anything. But I will spray something this year if I have to.
Oh, you got to save it. You know, there's no point in doing all that.
But I have an organic spray. But I have to say, I waited way too late with last year. We ended up with like just disgusting cucumber.
That was terrible.
And what else was nasty?
The dogs barking.
Oh, and the those squash. Vine borer.
Ooh, yeah.
Moths, they get in the stem and they just eat the plant from the inside out. They were enormous. I mean, these plants were gargantuan. They're just huge. And then the next thing you know, the whole thing, like overnight, just shriveled died.
Oh, yeah, it was gone. It was awful.
And then I realized it was that pesky worm and the it was sick.
Ugh, gross.
You want to be grossed out.
But the garden's doing great right now. I mean, I'm amazed. Yeah. I'm really very impressed.
I mean, it's pretty good. It's all right. I'm not a pro. I am no pro. And I only have two little raised beds. So it's not a ton of space. I was thinking this morning about having you build a long, thinner bed. Because, see, I have it... For the tomatoes. My tomatoes went crazy last year, and they were too small of a space.
Yeah.
And they got all tangled up, not to mention infested with some funk. So, I have to have the whole thing, I have to put that chicken wire around it.
Yeah.
Because we have too many, we have this enormous rabbit that comes. And then we have...
it's about 6 foot tall?
No, it's about... I'm serious. It's about...
It's huge.
It's 2 feet tall. I'm serious.
That includes the ears, though,
including
right?
The ears.
Yeah, okay,
that thing sits on its hind legs, and the ears are 2 feet at least. I mean, the thing is
monster.
What's that? What's that movie?
Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah,
Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
It's a were-rabbit, and so that is why I have to have it completely separated. Besides the dogs, you hear.
Yeah.
I don't want them. Gingers going crazy from garden 2 years ago where I had that bone meal in the so she is like digging all around the outside of my chicken wire fence. Anyway, that's what we have to do here. Who knows what else would come out and eat it, but I did have this dumb frog come, and I think he was eating my arugula too, and I think he's who ate my Brussels sprouts.
That was it, the princess and the frog
wasn't no. It was a toad.
Which we saw that movie just the other night. Well, Char and the kids saw the movie a while back when it came out in the theaters. I can't remember what I was doing. I missed it, but we watched it the other night, and you know that is just an awesome movie, especially because it's set in New Orleans. I mean, I've heard people say that this was the best Disney movie since Lion King.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just phenomenal, especially for us here in New Orleans. I mean, this is, you know,
our stomping
this is
grounds.
Like
our,
yeah, I mean, it's
good
it's
accents.
Us. Everything was just great.
When they started making movies about Louisiana decades ago when we were in high school, and they would always have like Dennis Quaid doing that football movie, Everybody's All American. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I mean, people, we know tons of people that were in it and everything. And I mean, it was all around town. But I have to say, oh my goodness, the accents, we, when we saw it, we're just so disappointed in the the way they, you know, it's like they make us out to be P. Row Paddle and, you know.
Ain't nothing wrong with
alligator. Alligator. Now, this movie does have, you know, some P. Row Paddle and Cajuns in it, but they're really, it's very accurate. And
like the guy with two fingers.
I mean, it's funny. It's hilarious. But like the whole.
Oh, that's great.
Anyway, it's great. It's great.
Yeah, it was a good movie. It was a really good movie. Anyway, that was, you know, you brought up a frog, and I thought about that. I want to recommend that movie, though. If you haven't seen The Princess and the Frog, it's out on DVD now. You're in for a treat if you take a look at that. Interesting, though. I mentioned this only after seeing it the other night. Well, I don't know if I should get into that. I'm going to leave that alone. Okay. Just one thing that I saw was kind of like, you know, I mean, you got a bad guy, and the bad guy is a voodoo.
Is a voodoo dude.
Is a voodoo dude. And so, you know, there's always that question when you have things like that in a movie, especially for kids. It's like, you know, you want to be careful that it's not something that glorifies voodoo. In other words, you know, it makes it attractive to kids. But, you know, when I looked at it and I kind of thought about it, it's like it does show, I mean, you got a really snappy, snazzy song that goes along with this guy. It's a great song, probably the best one for me on the CD. But they don't glorify it. Really, what happens is you start to see throughout the movie the terrible consequences of this guy being involved with
the Shadow Man
with voodoo. So I think in the end the message is good.
Yeah,
so,
she says this is bad.
Yeah, it is bad.
It is bad. It is very real, though. It is very real.
I mean, in the movie, or are you talking about
in real life?
Oh yeah, in real life, you got. I mean, you go to New Orleans, you got, you know, voodoo
tarot card
places,
tarot
and all is sad.
It's
all
very around, bad. Right around the cathedral,
the cathedral, right, St. Louis Cathedral, with the beautiful gardens out front and all that. All around the front area of the cathedral, you have people who are out there reading, you know, palm readers, tarot card readers, all these things right outside of the church. It's awful. It's absolutely awful. And what's really awful is all these tourists who come through and they're going and having their palms read and tarot card readings done. And that's just insane. That is not entertainment, folks. That is not entertainment. That is an invitation, a doorway to Satan himself, to come and to have access to your life. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is just not something to play with.
Bondage.
And these, bondage. Very good word. Bondage. And it's
that's exactly how the movie portrayed it.
That's right. The movie bondage. Portrays it like that. It's bondage. You were absolutely right.
He was scared himself of the bondage. And
that's right. He calls them his friends on the other side, but he really is scared of them.
And he becomes...
And he gets it in the end.
Yep.
I don't think I ruin it if I say that.
You know, nah.
The good guys win in the end. But yeah, I can't believe that out there in front of St. Louis Cathedral, you have all that going on. Very, very sad. So when you come to New Orleans, which of course you have to before you die. Yeah, everybody does.
Right.
You know, have some of that good food and just the jazz and all that jazz. just don't go get your palm read or your... You know, have a tarot card reading done. Just avoid that.
Right.
Just go into St. Louis Cathedral and say some prayers.
Okay.
All right. I think now we'll jump into some feedback.
Okay.
True love, you heard him. You could not ask for a more noble cause than that.
Sonny, true love is the greatest thing in the world. Except for a nice MLT, mutton, lettuce, and tomato sandwich when the mutton is nice and lean and the tomatoes ripe. They're so perky. I love that.
All right, we got some feedback. I want to share some feedback with you. And as I pull this up, you know, it looks like we've got actually another comment that has just come in. So anyway, as I mentioned yesterday, I posted on CatholicFoodie.com, an article that I started to write, just telling the story about my Lent, because Lent has been particularly powerful for me this year, and God has really done a number on me.
Yes, He has.
I mean, it's just amazing. I was in a rut I didn't even know I was in, basically, and man, did He issue a wake-up call for me.
Well, we sat here on the air live, and we were talking about Lent, and we were talking about being a different person at the end, and I said I'd like to be a different person at the end, and perhaps I'd like you to be a different person at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, that happened.
Whoa. I can't even begin to tell you.
Unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. Who are you? It's weird. It's just just weird. It's amazing. I was in bondage in a way in my own life, and a lot of it just being attitude, different attitudes or ways of thinking about things, thought patterns, I call them.
Judging and
all kind of things like that that really had control over my life in a lot of ways, and especially certain key areas of my life, and also behaviors associated with that like judging or being too harsh on my children or things like that, and all these things really had me in bondage, and I did not even see it. I did not recognize it. I did not see it. I had no idea that I was a slave to these things. And then one day, just really out of the blue, and I tell the story. I wrote an article. I tell the story there. I mean, Jesus just, wow, just zapped me. And all of a sudden, just with a clarity I can't even explain, I saw myself. I saw the awfulness of my sinfulness. And the magnificence of His love, and He spoke to my heart. I feel like it was the Father who spoke to my heart, and what He said to me just absolutely it was a complete surprise. I didn't expect it. Never thought of this. It took me completely by surprise, and it blew me away. And what I heard in my heart was this: "You are my son, and I love you." And that just, I can't begin to tell you what that did to me. It changed everything. It just absolutely changed everything. So anyway, the point is, am I right, Char?
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes. I don't know if this is a good point for me to comment.
Well, I mean, what I did is I wrote an article because I figured that it would be easier for me to write about this than talk about it. And it's also, I guess, when you're excited about something happening, sometimes you could just go on and on and on and on, especially if your name is Jeff Young. You just go on and on and on and on, right? Well, I didn't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. So I figured if I write this out, then it's a limited thing. I can just share this. People can read it. It's done.
Right.
And so I posted this, and I put at the end of it, I said, this is just kind of like the intro of my story. I took the article and I broke it up into different posts. Thank you, Sarah Reinhardt, for that suggestion. Thank you so much for that suggestion. And I broke it into smaller posts. I put the first one up at CatholicFoodie.com on yesterday, Saturday. And I put at the end, I said, if you're interested, if you want to hear the rest of the story, comment here, and I will be happy to share the rest with you. But it's not really about food. You see, that's the thing. It's not, the story isn't really about food. It is about faith, but not about food. So I felt kind of funny. Should I put it on CatholicFoodie.com or not? And so I figured I'd put this one post up and see what kind of response I got. And if people wanted more, I'd go ahead and put the rest of the story up there. So within about an hour, I had a comment. I was completely surprised. Normally, I put something up, and it may take a day or two, and I start to get some comments then. But this was – or emails, directly emails. But this was a comment, and it was about an hour after I had posted this article, the beginning article. It blew me away. And this is from Rita. That's right. From Rita. Rita says, "Did you step into my life and take it over?" At least it sounds very much like my life story. I would love to read the rest. I feel that the Lord grabbed me during this Lent this year, grabbed me during Lent this year, and shook the junk off and said, yep, I still love you, and you're still mine.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. And I made a comment back to her on the Facebook page, the Catholic Foodie Facebook page. I said, Rita, I would love to hear your story too. I'd love to hear her story. And if you have a story about Lent, something that happened in your life this Lent, in particular with your relationship with the Lord, with Jesus, let me know. I mean, that would be awesome if we could all share what God has been doing in our lives here at the Catholic Foodie. I'd love to hear it. I'm sure that everybody else would too. You can give us a call at 985-635-4974, 985-635-4974, or email me over at catholicfoodie@gmail.com. That would be great. So Rita made that comment, and I had another comment. Let's see if I could pull that up. This one was from... Actually, there is no name on this one, but I found it very interesting. This was a post. It was a guest post that we had on the Catholic Foodie months ago, months and months ago.
Oh,
it could have been a year ago on milk. This was from my good friend Patrick Moore. He has submitted this post on believe it or not, of all things, milk and school lunches. It was all about milk and school lunches. Anyway, he was reflecting on when he was in school and they used to have these milk cartons and. He had lots of good things to say about it. I'll put a link on the show notes or in the show notes about that particular post. But after all this time, we have a comment that came in, and I don't have a name here, but it says, just a short note to say that I, too, had Sister Mary Christine as my first grade teacher, and I, too, am a military brat. I believe I had Sister Mary Christine from 1965 to 1966. I read your blog that had been submitted to the Catholic Foodie. I received a warm feeling in my heart and a smile on my face as I reminisced about Sister Mary Christine. I can't begin to tell you what fond memories came rushing back to me. Oh, how I wish that schools today could have enjoyed the wonderful memories I have of Sister Mary Christine and first grade. Should anyone know of what has happened to Sister Mary Christine, I would love to know. Please let me know by responding to my email. She gives her email address and all that. Anyway, I forwarded that over to...
How do you know it's a she?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess because I was reading Sister Mary Christina, Sister Mary Christine, I just assumed it was a female. I'm sorry, I don't know. That's a good question. Thank you. Whoever this is, male or female, they went to the same school that Patrick Moore went to, and I don't have his post up right now. I don't have all the details, but I'll put a link in the show notes. You can go and read that. Very good post, by the way. Patrick is a wonderful wordsmith. He's great with words, a fantastic writer.
Runs in the family.
It runs in his family. You can go and check that out at catholicfoodie.com. But what he I forwarded this to him.
Oh,
I figured
you?
I said, oh yeah, you'll get a kick out of this. Someone commented on it and she, he or she went to school.
Right.
There and knows Sister Mary Christine. Anyway, he wrote back and said he was so funny and he loved it and he's going to respond to that that feedback. So I'm just so happy about that. I wanted to share that with you too. And then, as we were doing the show just a few minutes ago, I had another comment come in on the post that I wrote at Catholic Foodie on my Lent experience. And this is actually from Sophia. Sophia, who, by the way, has a fantastic garden. She's up north now, but she's a good Italian, right?
That's right.
And a holy woman. And she's got a blog. You need to go check her blog out, by the way. It's alwayscatholic.com, alwayscatholic.com. She's posted a few of the Catholic Foodie posts over there on her site as well. Anyway, Sophia writes, she says, please post the rest, Jeff. Your guest blog spot at Always Catholic is waiting. Love you. Hugs to Char and the kids. With much love and prayer, Sophia. Thank you so much, Sophia. I'm so glad to see your blog taking off, first of all, and glad to have a small share in that. I'm very happy that we have appeared there as guests. And I encourage anybody listening to the show, everybody listening to the show, go check out Always Catholic, a very, very good blog. Wonderful. Wonderful stuff there.
Yes.
All right. So that's the feedback. That's all I've got. Do you have any comments on that?
No.
None? Nothing? Nada? Not a tostada?
Here's a way you can be creative on a daily basis. Well, how else in your life can you actually create new things every day? And you have to eat. This is the thing we all agree on. If you're going to eat 3 times a day, to the day that you die, why not be good at it?
Love him. You know, we've been steeped in Lent and not, you know, watching TV. We've barely squeezed in our Lenten movies we wanted to watch. We didn't even get to several. But I want to watch Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution.
Yeah.
I've heard about it. Just comments here and there on Facebook. I haven't, you know, tuned in to or even seen a preview, but I'm dying to watch it.
Well, maybe it's on Hulu or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. We'll find it.
Yeah. Or DVDs or something like that.
No, it's on right now. Okay. Well, we're going to have to check it out because I'm sure it's good.
I'm sure it is, too. I'm always into, like, revolutions, you know? Food revolutions. The American
Revolution. Anyway, if you're watching it and you want to comment, send it our way. I do want to watch it because I know it's about good food and, like, doing the right thing and...
That's right.
Growing the right food, eating the right food.
I'm sure it's about cooking the right food.
And it's kind of like an uncover type thing,
yep.
I think.
Yep. Well, good. We'll have to check that out. And if you know anything about it, let us know. CatholicFoodie@gmail.com or 985-635-4974.
Yep. We're kind of behind, but I want to get into that. Okay. Keep going.
All right. Well, I mentioned it earlier in the show. We're going to talk about Liturgy of the Hours, but we're not.
Okay.
We're going to say that for next week. Matter of fact, I think next week we have a special treat for you. May very well have guests on the show next week. Okay. I don't want to say too much. I will be posting something on CatholicFoodie.com this week and also on Twitter. Oh, goodness. I guess I should just give you a hint, right? Why not? There is an app on an iPhone app that I am absolutely falling in love with. And it's not only an app, it's also a website. And it is an app, a website, and a podcast as well. And it is called Divine Office. Let me see if I can pull up this this URL real quick. Just make sure I give you the right one. DivineOffice.org.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if it comes up here. Why is this taking so long? Yes, it is. DivineOffice.org. And that's like the main page. You can get the Liturgy of the Hours, the Divine Office there on the website as a web interface. Very cool. You can pray the Divine Office. They've got the Invitatory. They've got the Office of Readings, morning prayer, daytime prayer, evening prayer, and night prayer. So virtually all of the canonical offices are canonical hours, and wonderful. And not only do they have it online here in a web interface, they also have it in a podcast format. So if you're on the go and you have an iPod or some kind of MP3 player, you can subscribe to that. I know they have it over at iTunes. You could subscribe to Divine Office. It's the whole Liturgy of the Hours every day that is it's spoken. You can listen to it, and they have a beautiful music in the beginning for each of those hours, and it's just relaxing and it's prayerful. It's a wonderful, wonderful tool. I love it. Anyway, they have an app as well for the iPhone and iPod Touch, which I am just falling in love with, and I've had it now for, I guess, over a week. And I talked to the guys who, Dane Faulkner actually is the guy that I've been talking to. I guess he's the one who actually put all this together and organizes it. This will go to About This Ministry, and I think I could probably find that out for you. Anyway, I've been talking with him. Okay, Dane, it looks like Dane is the one who organizes everything, and he is the gentleman I've been speaking with. Anyway, I talked to him the other day, and I said, hey, Dane, what about, you know, coming on the show? What about coming on the show and talking about what you're doing? You know, we are going to have a contest starting next week. I'm going to tell you about that next week. But, you know, it seems like we are going to get Dane, and maybe some of the ladies and gentlemen that help him to produce this and put the audio together may have them on the show next week. How about that, honey?
Cool.
So I'm excited about that. Very excited about that. So in addition to – that's why I'm going to put off Liturgy of the Hours until next week. But I do have something else that I want to announce.
Drum roll.
Drum roll. Big announcement. Big announcement. This is the first time. This is something that I've been thinking about for a long time. Years, actually. A few years. At least the last couple of years. I've been thinking about this a lot. And finally have come to a decision. And I'm announcing it here at the Catholic Foodie. So, do we have a drum roll?
You don't.
Something
you
like that.
Easily.
Something I could have done that.
You say that last time we needed a drum roll. That's your assignment
it.
For tonight. You find
it.
A drum roll.
I wonder if I have a drum roll here. I don't know.
Because every time we need one, we don't have one.
I've got this. That doesn't work, huh?
No.
What about that? No?
No.
Well, let's see. Do I have? Oh, what about that one? there should be a drum roll. Do you see drum roll?
Well,
we do have this. No, what about the? Oh, that's not it. Oh, anyway, I got all these different sound effects, and none of them are really going to do what I needed to do, right? Hey, okay, we have an announcement.
All right.
just a little fun we're having here. Here's the announcement. This school year ends in what? About a month
mm-hmm.
from now. It ends, and that will be my last. This is my last year teaching high school.
Yeah.
How about that?
Woo!
I've been thinking about this for a long time. I've been a teacher for a long time, and you know, as a husband and a father, the sad reality here in our day and age is that being a teacher just does not cut the mustard. It just does not pay the bills. It doesn't cover everything. It's very hard to live on it. It's very difficult.
That's kind of the only thing.
And that's not the only reason. That's not the only reason. But that is a big part of it. It's been very challenging the last couple of years. I've worked with kids, teenagers, for years and years and years now. And, you know, I just feel like it's things are moving in a different direction. I certainly do need to do better, to increase my income, to better support my family. That's my vocation in life, is my wife and my children. So that's important. But in addition to that, you know, this whole new media thing that I've been involved with now for a couple of years at least, if not longer, it is longer, it's been longer, 3-4 years. This whole new media thing has, for me, kind of been growing and growing and growing. And I've got a tremendous interest in all of this and really a passion about ministry and social media, education and social media. You know, all this thing that technology can do and is doing to the way that we educate, minister, relate. For businesses, the way that they do business. I mean, so much is changing. And so I've been thinking about this for a long while. It's like, why not branch out on my own, start my own business, and do what I really love to do?
Yeah.
And I just feel like the, you know, teaching for me the last couple of years has become kind of stale.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess part of that's just burnout. But still, and one of the things I realized is, you know, I love teaching. Teaching I love, the act of teaching, which is one of the things I do, by the way, here at the Catholic Foodie. Yeah,
right.
I'm putting together a podcast. I have a classroom of lots and lots and lots of people. You know, we have, I think, somewhere around 1,200 downloads of this podcast a week. So you have people from all over the world who are listening to this show. And they hear me talk about divine mercy, or they hear me talk about Liturgy of the Hours, or prayer, or Lent, or whatever it may be. And all the while, I'm catechizing, I'm teaching, but it's kind of like edutainment.
Yes.
Or info... something. You know, edutainment, you know, it's education, but kind of entertaining as well. So that's more of what I am passionate about. It's more about what I really want to do. And so I want to turn that to my advantage, to the advantage of my family, and let go of the thing that I feel like is really, you know, and once again, it's trying to be fair to students as well, fair to my students. It's like something that for me has kind of become draining, and my efforts, my energy, my thoughts, everything else has been moving in this other direction kind of naturally. It's like, you know, now is the time to kind of make the switch.
Yes.
So this is my last year teaching high school. I will still be teaching, but it'll be in a greater sense, right, with a wider audience. And, you know, for the last several months, I've had a little project that I've been working on called Mac and Media, and I'm still working on that. If you know, I'm exclusively a Mac guy. I love everything Apple, everything Mac. I converted about 8 years ago, I think, from PC to Mac, and I love it. And
that's an understatement.
I'm an addict. I'm an addict. I'm a Mac evangelist, right? So I was thinking, and I know a lot. I've learned a lot. I've taught myself a lot. I've learned a lot from other people. It just because I'm using it constantly, using this technology all the time, and you know. So I thought, and I'm always having people ask me, you know, can you help me do this? Can you teach me how to do that? Can you, you know? And so it naturally and kind of for free, I'm helping people do stuff. So my thought was, well, this could be my career.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I mean, I might as well be doing this stuff and getting paid to do it. I love this. So that's one of the things that I've been working on for several months. Developing Mac and Media. And once again, it's all about, you know, everything Mac. I'm like your personal trainer for everything Mac, right? Mac and Media, using technology to transform our today and our tomorrow. And also with the media side of things, just using social media, whether it's to implement it in your parish, in your church, to implement it in your business. If you're someone who wants to start a podcast, you want to start a blog, you want to start, if you need a website developed, you need something designed, any of those things, and I'm the guy to do that, right? Mac and Media can do that for you. So this is something that I'm launching, and I want to announce that here because I want to ask your prayers. This is a huge step, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, like almost a blind leap.
Kind of like a leap of faith, right? A leap of faith. And I'm doing this in prayer. I am taking this to heart. It is in prayer. And I want to ask for you to pray for me and my family, and also the success of this new venture, Mac and Media, that I could actually get this thing off the ground and support my family.
And yeah, that's right.
And, you know, and spread the word. I mean, if there's anybody out there that you know who may need any of the services that I have, that I provide, please spread the word. Let them know. MacandMedia.com. And once again, there will be a link in the show notes. And I'm going to put a banner up also in the sidebar there at CatholicFoodie.com. But it's MacandMedia.com. You can go check that out. It's a site that's, once again, it's still kind of, I'm still developing it, still putting content on there. I've devoted so much time to Catholic Foodie and to some of the other things that I've worked on to help other people that I haven't spent enough time developing everything at Mac and Media, but that's something that I'm doing now. So you can check that out and see kind of what's going on and what that's all about. Also, in addition to that, as far as the teaching aspect, one of the things that I will be available to do is to give workshops, seminars, teaching, right, speaking at different events. Because that's what I do as a teacher, and so I could take these principles, everything that I have learned in the realm of technology and social media and all that stuff, and I can bring that out to more and more people. So I'm still going to be teaching; it's just not in a high school classroom. So very exciting stuff. I'm very excited about this. Please, I ask you to pray for us, to pray for this venture. And go check out macandmedia.com and let me know what you think. Is there anything that I'm missing? Should I add something? Is there something that any kind of suggestions that you have? I'd love to hear them. And once again, you can contact me here at the Catholic Foodie with any of your thoughts at 985-635-4974 or at catholicfoodie@gmail.com. Go check it out, macandmedia.com. And until next time, bon appetit.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.